We're beginning here on the top of Samachet Amud Aleph. Gemara is continuing from the discussion yesterday where they had a problem with the baby where the water had spilled, and Rabba was making suggestions about what they could do to bring the water from Rabba's place over to the baby's place. So first he had said, let's be somech on the Erev Chatzerot, and then he said, let us be somech on the Shituf Mevot. In both instances, Abaye said that we don't have a Erev Chatzerot, we don't have a Shituf Mevot in our area. And Abai and Rabba both lived in this same chatzer. So now the Gemara continues 6 lines down. Amalei Rabba bar Rav Chanan l'Abaye mevoadit beitrei gavrei ravervei gerabonon lo lahavi be lo eruv lo shituv. How can it be that you have this chatzer, this mavue, that has these 2 great rabbis, you and Rabba, living in it, and there's no eruv chatzerot, and there's no shituv mevoad? Amalei my navit. What can we do? Mar lav orche, for Rabba, who is an elder statesman, he is one of the gdolei hador, he's not going to go around and collect from all the individuals in order to put together the eruv or to put together the shituf mevot. It's beneath his dignity. It's not the proper kavod for him. I know, me personally, taridna bigirsai, I'm involved in my learning, and I don't have time to take care of this issue. Inhu, the remainder of the people in the chatzer, lo mashkir b'chei, they don't listen. Now, what's the other possibility is that Abaye could single-handedly take care of the issue. He could do it through being mezakeh. We saw this early in the Masechta, that an individual can give other people rights inside of their food in order to have it be an eruv. Says, vi aknilu pita b'salo, if they give them rights to the bread in my basket, and that way they'll have an eruv because he won't have to go around and collect. He won't have to do anything. It's very simple. He just grants everybody rights inside of his challah. And because mezaken la'adam shelo b'fanav, we allow you to do this by eruvei chatzerot. If they really ask me for it, if they come and want to collect on the bread that I was mezak on their behalf, and I wouldn't be willing to give it to them, that would undermine the shituf, because the Tanya, we have a braita, one of the people that was joined together in the shituf mevot, asks for some wine and oil from that joint pot, and they did not give it to him, batela shituf. That undermines, nullifies, disqualifies the shituf mevot. So I don't have the means to provide for everybody here in the chatzer, because if I grant them rights to ownership inside of my bread, then they can actually come make a claim on it. And if they come make a claim on it, I don't have the means or the wherewithal to give them that bread and have enough for myself. So that wasn't a good suggestion. I can't do that. So why don't we do this? Have a reviat alug of challah of chometz that's inside of your barrel. You'll give that or grant that right to the individuals. This is an item that doesn't have a lot of monetary value to it, and you could give up on that. If they really wanted that vinegar, you could grant it to them. So he says, that we can't do. Tanya, emishatfim be'utzar. You're not allowed to use storage or large containers of items for your shituf mevot or for your Erev Chatzerot. Tosafot points out over here that Erev Chatzerot has to be done with bread. So everything we're talking about here should be shituf mevot. V'hatanya, don't we have a bread that says mishatfim? That you are allowed to do a shituf mevot in that case. So Amar Rav Oshaya lokasha. That's not a problem. Habet Shammai, Habet Hillel. The 2 braitot are authored by different Tanaim. One braita is the position of Beit Hillel. One braita is the position of Beit Shammai, the Tanan. We have a Mishnah when it comes to Tumat Hamet, that Hamet Babait, if you have a mate, a corpse, inside of the house, Velop Tachim Harbe, and it has many exits from the house, many entrances, exits from the house. That includes any opening, including windows, doors, anything that's an exit from the house. Kulan Tameim. They're all Tamei. Even though, technically, the Tumat Hamet really should stay within the house itself, and the windows and the doorways frame out the walls of the house, and the Tumat shouldn't reach there, nevertheless, it's considered as if the Tumat goes there, and any Kelim found in those areas will become Tamei. Niftach Echad Mehen, if you open one of the doors, that is sufficient to allow the Tumat to exit. Hu Tamei, Vukulan Teorim. That door becomes Tamei, and everything else becomes Tor. Once you've chosen which door and you've opened that door, it's the equivalent of saying, I'm going to take the mate out from that door. Once you've designated which door will be the egress or the exit for taking the mate out, then everything else becomes tahor. Because now we have a decision about which doorway will become tamei. Chishev lo'tzio be'achad mehem. If you just thought about taking the mate out from one of them, o b'chalon, sheish bo'arba'o, or ba'o, you take him out of a window that has a minimum of 4x4 tefachim, which we can make it significant, that saves everything else. There, you don't have to worry because you've chosen the exit, even though you did it through machshava. That's only if he had the machshava before the person passed away. Even after he's passed away, you can do this. The way Rashi sets up this braita, or explains the machloket in this braita, it has to do with breira. Breira is the ability to retroactively make a decision that has an impact on multiple items. So over here, when the mate passes away, if you've already chosen the door that he's going to exit, that doorway will become tamei, and everything else will remain tahor. The case that we're speaking about, there was no decision made. When there's no decision made, then all the doorways become tameim, because any one of them is a possibility for the exit of the tumah tameh. Then, once you've chosen the doorway, that doorway takes all the tumah, everything else is tahor. What Beit Hillel says is, that even if you think about which doorway you're going to take him out of, and you didn't do a maisa, you didn't actually open up that door, then the doorway that you think about taking him out from gets that designation, and that one becomes tameh, and the remainder are tahor. Just like when you open the door, that one takes all the tumah, and the remainder are tahorim. So to over here, and that's what is breira lemafreya. Once you've decided which door you're going to take him out with, even through machshava, that's enough. That designation makes it that that door and anything in that door frame is tameh, and everything else was tahor. Even though at the time of the mate passed away, there was no decision, and everything became tameh until the decision. Nevertheless, retroactively, once you made a decision, it's as if all the other doorways were not tameim. Beit Shammai says that's not enough. You can't have a machshava after the mate has passed away, because then the tumah is already taken hold in all the doorways. And once it's taken hold in all the doorways, you can't have a simple machshava. Thought can't take that back. Retroactively, a machshava can't do that. Now, a maisa, if you open up the door itself, then it will work. The tumi mitaher, the others, mikana lahaba. From there forward. So not retroactively, but only there forward. So Beit Hillel believes that the opening of the door and machshava allow you to retroactively establish which doorway is the exit. And we assume, since you made this the exit, that's what you had in mind all along. And that's the only area where there's tumah. On the other hand, Beit Shammai says that once the tumah happens, you can't take it away. The tumah happened. What you can do is, from here forward, prospectively, you can make a decision about which one is tameh and which remains tahor. According to Beit Shammai, it doesn't work at all, machshava, because you can't take away tumah by machshava. Whereas by maaseh, if you actually pick the door, then that door, mikana labah, prospectively will accept the tumah and everything else will be tahor. So based on that, Rav Hoshea explains the machloket by shituf mivot. Same thing is true by shituf mivot. You take something from the otsar, from the storage house, and you grant a revi'it, halog, out of the whole thing to the shituf mivot. And within that barrel, you don't know which piece belongs to the shituf and which piece belongs to you. It's all mixed up there. So do we say huvrar davar, once we establish which is which, or we separate them out, then retroactively it was clear all along? And that would be the position of Beit Hillel, just like Beit Tumah will apply that here to Eruv and Shituf Mivaot. Whereas Beit Shammai, who says over there, you can't make a decision retroactively, so to over here. Only once you separate out the Revita Lug of the Chalav, the Chometz, of the vinegar, can you make it or designate it as the Shituf Mivaot. But until that point, it doesn't gain that designation, and therefore, they are the authors of the Braita that says that this doesn't work for Shituf Mivaot. What it'll turn out to be, and this is what Tosfot asks, is that Abaye's position is like Beit Shammai. Abaye, who says you can't use the Otsar, is subscribing to Beit Shammai the way Rav Hoshea is explaining it. Whereas Rav Hoshea is saying it's a machloket Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, of course, we're in a paskin like Beit Hillel. So what you have to say is that Abaye doesn't believe that this is a machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, and that everybody agrees over here, and that Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai do not argue on this point, and we find that throughout Shas, that there's sometimes there are machloket between Beit Hillel and Shammai, and then you have an Amora or a Tana say that they didn't argue about this point, but rather about a different issue. What Abaye will say is that everybody agrees, the mafreya retroactively, you can't correct anything here. The only question or machloket here is prospectively. That leads us into another Tosafot, which is that Marin Beitza brings the same machloket about Tumah. And over there we have Rabbi Oshia make a comment about that and says that machloket here is only prospectively, not retroactively. Yet over here, Rav Hoshea is indicating that it is retroactive, the argument. It's about Breira. So the Rabbeinu Tam makes a suggestion that there's actually a difference between Rabbi Oshea and Rav Hoshea. Rav Hoshea, who's a late Amora, he's the one commenting over here. In Beitza, which is a much earlier period, that's Rabbi Oshea. And they're actually two different people. Rabbi indicates he's from Eretz Yisrael. Rav indicates he's from Bavel. And they're two different people, and therefore you don't have a stira. On the other hand, Rav Menachem Miyuni says that we can explain the machloket differently over here. They don't argue here about Breira itself, but rather about the prospective nature of the doorways. That Beit Shammai says that when you have a machshava afterwards to fix it and to take it out a specific door, the mei, that doesn't save everything else. You cannot remove the tumah from the other doors in that way until you do a maaseh. On the other hand, Beit Hillel says a machshava is enough to fix the problem. And once you have the machshava prospectively, that door is tamei and everything else is tahor. And we'll extrapolate that to shituf mivot. Just like Beit Hillel says over there that machshava is enough, so to over here he'll say machshava, you think that a portion of that vinegar belongs to the shituf mivot, that's sufficient. Whereas Beit Shammai says machshava doesn't work there, it doesn't work over here. Tosafot challenges that explanation by saying, what's the connection between machshava by tumah and machshava over here? There's no natural connection between the two of them. That's number one. Number two is, according to this, Beit Shammai will say that you need to place the Eruv into the Kli with the Maaseh L'Shem Eruv in order to be a good Eruv, just like by tumah. And we don't find such a thing in any of the Mishnayot that anybody requires that the Eruv be put there L'Shem Eruv. He does say that this explanation is a little more favorable from the perspective of Breira. We have machlokot about Breira throughout Shas, and how come the Gemara brings this one bun about Beit Shammai Beit Hillel and not Alokeach Yami Ben Akutim, which we saw earlier in the Masechta, that has all the Tanaim discussing about whether there is or isn't Breira? If this is an issue of Breira, bring in that Sugya. Why won't we bring this Beit Hillel Beit Shammai? So that favors the explanation that we're not arguing about Breira over here. Rather, we're arguing like Rabbi Yeshaya says prospectively in the Gemara in Beitzah, and the way Rav Menachem Miyuni explains it over here as well. But nevertheless, there are questions on both perspectives, and it does leave Abaye in a difficult position. The truth is, we could have asked, Abaye is like Beit Shammai, then they could have just answered, Abaye, instead of taking out the otsar, why don't you just put it into a pitcher, and you'll have a revita of vinegar. So maybe it was tircha lemilta, that was too much work or too much effort that he didn't want to undergo, but that would have been the solution to the problem, is not to have it be from something, a barrel or something big in the otsar, but do small amounts. But you do small amounts, and you have to actually go get it, and you have to pour that which is in the otsar into it. And maybe that was just too much. And that's a whole point here, is that Rabbah bar Rav Chanon is trying to challenge Abaye and say you could have solved the problem without having to make any effort. Alright, so from now we move on to the next sugya, which is similar to the case that we had at the end of the previous daf. You had this baby who was going to have a brit milah, but the hot water spilled. Amalahu Rava. Rava says, Nishaile li'ime. Let's ask his mother, Itzricha, if she needs hot water. If she does need hot water, Nechem le l'nachri agav yimei, then let the non-Jew warm up the water for her, and by doing so, he'll warm up extra water for the baby as well. This woman already is after 7 days of giving birth. She then has a status of a cholah she'ein bo sakana, and even if she requests from us hot water or some of her needs, we won't violate Shabbat to do it from her. We could do it ayidei nachri, which is a shvut, but we ourselves won't do it. So here, where she is after the 7 days already, the brit is on the 8th day, she doesn't have a cholah she'esh bo sakana status, then in this case, we could warm up water for ayidei nachri if she asks for it. So if she says she needs it, then let's do it for her, and then we'll increase that water for the baby as well. If you go say his mother, not only is she drinking cold water, she's eating foods. She's eating dates already. She's totally fine. She doesn't need any hot water. Maybe she fell into a stupor. She has lost her mind for a short moment here, and that's why she's eating dates. But I'm sure she could use hot water, and I'm sure that would be beneficial to her. So just wait a little bit, and I'm sure she will ask for it. Another case where they had the baby who was having his brit, and the water spilled, and they needed to replace the hot water. So the case here is that the baby is found in another chatzer. Rova is in the adjacent chatzer. There's a dory between them. They have no eruv between them. So you have two chatzerot that are independent of each other. Doorway in between them which will allow them to make an eruv, but they didn't make an eruv. And Rova has hot water in his location. So he wants them to be able to take the hot water from his location over to where the baby is. So what he says is, I have a setup here where there's a chatzer. Then they have the Beit Gavre, the men's house, which is towards the chatzer, opens in the chatzer. And then there are captive houses internally, which are the women's houses. So if he is mevatel his reshut, if he gives up rights or relinquishes his rights to his chatzer, to the other chatzer, the people in the other chatzer, he'll no longer be able to bring out his items from his house into the chatzer, because he has now relinquished his ownership in the chatzer. So what Rava says to do is take all the things or items that are in the outer house, the house that faces into the chatzer, that's the Beit Gavre, and move them back into the internal rooms, into the eternal houses, which are the Bein Ashe. That way nobody will make a mistake and carry the Kleilim out into the Chatzer. Once we've done that, we'll live in the Bein Ashe. That will become our location. And we'll be Mevatel, our Reshut, in the Chatzer. Assuming that the hot water is in the Chatzer, we'll be Mevatel, the Reshut of our Chatzer, to their Chatzer. And then they can come and take the hot water. Amar le Ravina l'Rova, v'amar Shmua, ein b'tu Reshumi Chatzer l'Chatzer. How can you do that, Rova? Here you have two separate Chatzerot, a case where they're adjacent to each other, petach b'neihem. That case, Shmuel says, you can't be Mevatel Reshut mi Chatzer l'Chatzer. So Amar le Rova responds to him and says, Anok Rabbi Yochanan Sfirle. I pass him like Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan says, yes, you can be Mevatel Reshut mi Chatzer l'Chatzer. Damar yesh bituch mi Chatzer l'Chatzer. So then Ravina persists and says, wait a minute, if you don't hold like Shmuel, then native mar beduchte, then stay in place. Why are you moving all the stuff from the front area of the house to the back of the house? Just stay in your location and be mevatel it. Vinaju inu, vinatulu lamar. And when they take, after they've taken the water, let them relinquish control over the chatzer and give it back to you. So that you can give up ownership for a temporary time, let them take the hot water and they'll grant it back to you. Stay in place, because now there's no worry about you digging your kelim out to the chatzer, you'll get the ownership back shortly. Dama Rav. Rav says, mevatlim, v'chozrim mevatlim. Rav says you can relinquish control, and then relinquish control again. Parties can trade back and forth through bitul the property. So he says, anabaha, kishmol sfirle. Damar, ein mevatlim, v'chozrim mevatlim. There, I do hold like Shmuel. Shmuel says that you cannot do multiple relinquishments of control. That I hold like Shmuel. If you give it up, you give it up once, and that's it for the remainder of Shabbat. So Ravina says back to Malav Chataimo. Isn't the reason the same for both of them? My time aim of Atlim Chazim of Atlim. Why can't you do multiple relinquishments of control? La Mishum de Gavin de Batle the Rishute Istalike. Since he gave up control over the property, it's as if he removed himself from it. It's as if he took himself out of the picture completely. It's as if he belongs to a different chatzer. And you can't do bitul reshut mi chatzer lechatzer. So mar nami lo nivatel. So too, you shouldn't be able to do it mi chatzer lechatzer. So here, Ravina says that the reason that you can't do multiple relinquishments, nullifications of your ownership is because once you've given up control over the property, it's no longer yours. It becomes like a different chatzer. But it's a different chatzer, we invoke the other principle of Shmuel that ein mevatli mechatzer the chatzer. So if you subscribe to Shmuel's position here about ein mevatli mechozir mevatlin, then you also have to subscribe to his other position that ein mevatli mechatzer the chatzer, because that is the reason why you are ein mevatli mechozir mevatlin. So Rabbi responds to him and says, hatam hainu taima, that's not correct. You connected the two, but that's not the truth. The reason that Shmuel says ein mevatli mechozir mevatlin is, it's so it shouldn't be that the takanot of Rabbanan are like a mockery, a force. Over here, if you allow him to relinquish control for a short time and then give it back, it looks like a whole joke. It looks like they never really gave up control. People will not accept that as being a real change of ownership for the tiltul over here. So in order to prevent people from making that into a farce, we say, you do it once and that's it. So that has nothing to do with Shmuel's other din of Ein Mevatlim Michatzer L'Chatzer. So here I subscribe to Shmuel. Ein Mevatlim V'Chozrim Mevatlim. For that reason, I emptied out all my kelim from the house and moved them to the back, because once I relinquish control, it's gone for Shabbat. On the other hand, I'm willing to relinquish control to the other Chatzer, because I subscribe to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan who says, Mevatlim Reshut Michatzer L'Chatzer. Gufa. So now let's go back and look at this machlok at Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar Mevatlim V'Chozrim Mevatlim. Shmuel Amar, Ein Mevatlin Mechozrim Mevatlin. Rav says you can do multiple nullifications, relinquishments of control. Shmuel says you can only do it once. Lema Rav Shmuel Bepulukta Derabonon V'Rabbi Eliezer Kamiflege. Let us say that the Machlokot Rav and Shmuel is similar to a Machlokot Tanaim of the Rabbanon and Rabbi Eliezer. To Rav Amar Ki Rabbanan. Rav holds like the Rabbanan, who Shmuel Amar Ki Rabbi Eliezer. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Eliezer. This is the Machlokot we saw earlier in the Masechta, that when one relinquishes control over the Chatzer, do they also relinquish control over their house? When they give up ownership, are they giving up ownership solely of the Chatzer? Or are they also giving up ownership of the Bayit, of their house as well? The nafkomina will be whether the people in the Chatzer who received it from him and took the property from him when he was mevatelet, can they only carry in the Chatzer now? Or can they also carry from his house into the Chatzer? Does his house now become a part of the joint property? So that's a machloket between Rabbanon and Rabbi Eliezer. Rav will say like the Rabbanon, that they say that the house remains in his possession. The chatzer goes completely, but the house remains in his possession. So you see from the Rabbanan, you're able to keep a certain amount of control over your property. You relinquish the chatzer, you hold on to the bayit. So too with mevatlin chuzrim mevatlim. You can nullify it, and then you can reacquire your ownership in it. Shmuel will hold like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says you relinquish control in the chatzer, you also relinquish control of your house. You're gone. And once you're gone, you can't reacquire it. And that'll be Shmuel's din. So that's what we're suggesting here, that Rav holds like the Rabbanan, and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Gemara says, no, Amar lecha Rav, an amrei afilu Rabbi Eliezer. I can even subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Ad gan lo gamar Rabbi Eliezer otam. Over there, Rabbi Eliezer says, amavato reshut chasei ro reshut beito bitel. That's one thing. If you revato your rights, you nullify, relinquish your rights in the chatzer, you also relinquish your rights in the house. Mishum, there's a reason that he says that. Debebayit below chatzer, lo dairi inche. Because Rabbi Eliezer believes a person who has a house without a chatzer won't live that way. In their day, the chatzer had a huge part of the utility of what we do in the houses today. Without a chatzer, your house is almost worthless. So he says nobody's going to stay in the house without a chatzer. So that's why we assume if you give up the chatzer, you give up the bayit as well. Nothing to do with whether it's permanent or not permanent. Aval inyan istalugei mi'amar. Who says that he thinks that once you relinquish control, you're completely out of the picture? He could hold that you still have control over your, or partial control. Just, he says, when you relinquish the chatzer, you also relinquish your bayit. Doesn't say anything about how much control you've relinquished. Shmuel amar ana amrei afilu k'rabbanan. Shmuel says, I can even hold like the Rabbanan. That ad gan lo kamei Rabbanan hotam elamai de batil, batil de lo batil, lo batil. The Rabbanan's position over there is, whatever you give up, you gave up. You said the chatzer, you meant the chatzer. Bayit, you didn't say bayit, so you didn't give it up. Of amai de batil, what you do nullify or relinquish, mea yistalik de gamrei. There you remove yourself completely from that item. So the two don't have to be correlated. The two machlokot can be independent of each other. So amar avachar brachana, amar av sheshet ketanaye. There, machloket here is actually like a machloket tanaim. Mi shenatan rishuto votzi. Person who gave up or relinquished control over his property, and then afterwards actually takes something out. He gives up his ownership in the chatzer, and then after a little bit, he goes from his house and carries something out into the chatzer. So he's reasserted his ownership over the property. So Rav Sheshet says that this machloket tanaim about that case is similar to Rav and Shmuel. So ben bishogeg ben bemezid oser divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says whether he did it intentionally or unintentionally, he's reacquired the property and he's ruined the eruv. Rabbi Yehuda Meir ben bemezid, if he does it intentionally, oser, then he causes a problem with the eruv. Bishogeg ain't oser, if he does it unintentionally, then it's not a problem. My love, behaka miflege. This is what they're arguing about. Mar sabrim vatlim bechuzrim vatlim. Their machloket is the same as machloket of Rav and Shmuel. Rav is like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is like Rav in this case. Rabbi Meir says you still have a partial ownership over this property. So when you go and reassert your ownership through, whether it's intentional or unintentional, you've reacquired the property. Umar Saber, Rabbi Yehuda believes, aim about lin chazim about lin. When you relinquish control, you completely relinquish control. If you completely relinquish control, you can't reassert your ownership over here. Now, Bishogeg will say that, Bimezid, if you do it intentionally, we'll put a knas on and say that you've reasserted control. But Bishogeg, if you do it unintentionally, then you haven't done anything. Amar Bachar by Tachlifa, Mishmei Derova, lo, that's not the case. Tukule Ama, Ein Mevatlin, Chuzrim Mevatlin. Everybody agrees, Ein Mevatlin, Chuzrim Mevatlin. You can't do multiple relinquishments of control. Bahacha, and the machloket here is about Bekansu Shogeg, Atu Mezid, Kamevlegei. Question, do we have a knas on Shogeg because of Mezid over here? Marsavar, Kansu Shogeg, Atu Mezid. Rabbi Meir believes, by Mezid, everybody agrees that if you go and reassert control over it, you take back the ownership. It has nothing to do with how many times you can reassert, but you reassert the ownership because it's as if you never gave it up. That's when you do it intentionally. But then, Rabbi Meir says, if you did it unintentionally, it wouldn't matter, but we're going to be kones, unintentional to intentional. Umar Sovereign, Rabbi Yehuda believes, lo kanzu shogega to Mezid. Mezid, you're right. If he intentionally reacquires or reasserts his control, it's as if he never gave it up. But if he does it unintentionally, then it remains, because we're not going to be kones shogeg to mezid. We're not going to say that we're going to punish him when he does it unintentionally for a possibility that he does it intentionally. And when he does it intentionally, he reasserts his ownership as if he never gave it up. But that's if the Bnei Bavui didn't take control over it. If they assert control over it first, and they put their things there, and they act as if it's theirs, then he can't take it back. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi disagrees, Amar, Rav Shmuel beplugta Rav Elezer Rabbanon kamiflege. Rav and Shmuel actually argue, like we said before, like we suggested before, that it's a machloket tanaim between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. What's interesting about that is, it will turn out now, that Rav holds like the Rabbanan, and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Eliezer. And if that's the case, that means that Rav Ashi does not subscribe to Rava's qualification of Shmuel in Ein Mevatlin Rishut Mechatzer Lechatzer. Because over there, Rava set up the case that in the four permutations of the case of a Chatzer Bifnim Chatzer, out of those four permutations, three of them you cannot be Mevatel Rishut, and only one of them you can be Mevatel Rishut. Then we had a challenge to Rava's position and said, wait a minute, why can't you, in another case, also make it Mutar? Because if you are Mevatel to one of them, he becomes a proxy for everyone else. Rava's answer was, you're speaking in Rabbi Eliezer. But Shmuel holds like the Rabbanon. Well, so over there, Rava says Shmuel holds like the Rabbanon. Ravashi over here says Shmuel is subscribing to the position of Rabbi Eliezer. For that reason, Tosafot says, Ravashi must subscribe to Abaye's qualification of Shmuel and not Rava's qualification of Shmuel. And therefore, Eim Evadlim Rishut, Mechatzer Lechatzer is only true when they're adjacent Chatzerot, when there's a doorway between them. But if it's a captive Chatzer, over there Shmuel will say, Mevatlim Rishut Mechatzer Lechatzer. Now we go all the way back to our Mishnah, in which we bring a story from Rabban Gamliel, that Masibet Stuki Achad She'adar Imanu. There was a case where we had this Stuki that lived in our area. So the Gemara said, Stuki Iman Dekar Shemei. Who mentioned that Stuki? That all of a sudden you're bringing a story here about a Stuki. We mentioned a Nochri and we mentioned a Kuti. Nobody mentioned Stuki. The Gemara says, Askurei Mechzera. The Mishnah is missing some words to it. Bachiktani. Stuki Harehu Kenachri. The Tanagama believes that a Stuki has the same din as a non-Jew. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Stuki Einu Kenachri. Rabbi Gamliel says that Stuki is not like a non-Jew. He has the status of a Jew. May not believe in the Eruv. We'll have to deal with it, but he's not like a non-Jew. Ve'amar Rabban Gamliel Maseh B'Tztuki Achad She'ya Dar Imanu B'Mavoy B'Yerushalayim Ve'amar Lanu Abba Maharu V'otziu Et HaKelim L'Mavoy Ad Shelo Yotzi V'Yaser Lechem. So there is a case like that that proves that we treat the Tztuki like a Jew. We say, let him be Mevatel Rishut. And once he's Mevatel Rishut, he says to them, rush out and put your Kelim there so he can't retract or renege on his Bitul Rishut. We have a bright that supports that understanding. You live with a non-Jew, it's Tuki Ubaitusi, they're all problematic until you rent the property from them. So here you see that the Tanagama places them all together in one category of non-Jew. And as the Tosafot points out, you'll have to say Chasuri Mechzera here as well. Therefore, Rabbi Gamliel says no, that Tuki is not like a Nachri. And here is the story to prove that. Umasib Tuki Achad, Shiadarim Rabbi Gamliel, Bamavoy Virushalayim. Make sure that now that he's been mevatel reshut to us, that you go out and either be motzi kelim or machnis kelim. You don't have to do both, you can do one or the other, and establish a chazaka on the property. Once you've established a chazaka on the property, he can't back out of it, he can't renege on it. So make sure you do that. Once Shabbat starts, do it right away so we can establish a chazaka on Shabbat and he can't renege on it. Make sure that this toev, this disgusting one, referring to the tztuki, doesn't back out of his granting of reshut. Sherei bito reshuto lachem, because he already granted you rights, and take advantage of them. That's Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Rabbi Meir explains the story that way. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'lashon acheret. Yehuda explains the story slightly differently, which is similar in our Mishnah. Ma'aru v'asu torchechem v'mavoy ad shelo techshach. Make sure you do everything you need to do in the mavoy before it gets dark. And he'll cause it to be asur. And the way Rashi says now, the Havamina of the Gemara is Rabbi Yehuda is saying, do it before nightfall, because Rabbi Yehuda lo pligi Rabbi Gamliel at stuki ganachri. He agrees that stuki is ganachri, and you won't be able to use this chatzer once it falls dark, because his bittul doesn't mean anything. So make sure you do everything prior to that. That's the Havamina of the Gemara here. The Gemara will dissect that on the tomorrow's daf and see that Rabbi Yehuda might even agree that a stuki ain't ganachri. But he might have a different determination of when you have to exercise control. Okay, we'll stop over here.